This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. The Archbishop of Chicago is calling for an apology from the White House after President Trump last week shared a racist video on his Truth Social platform. The video depicted former President and First Lady Barack and Michelle Obama as primates in a jungle. In a statement, Cardinal Blaise Cupich says, "Nothing less than an unequivocal apology to the nation and to the persons demeaned is acceptable." The White House initially defended Mr. Trump's post, but it was later taken down following partisan backlash. About 50 homes in South Suburban Dixmoor were without water for multiple hours over the weekend because of two back-to-back water main breaks. The first took 7 hours to repair on Saturday. The second took 6 hours to repair on Sunday. Dixmoor has struggled for years with water main breaks. Dixmoor Mayor Fitzgerald Roberts says the village's infrastructure is more than 100 years old.
The pipes is not just blowing holes in the top. It's splitting all the way around. They're splitting in half, the pipes are. So that's also a sign of the pipe being decayed and they just giving out.
Dixmoor has seen several water main breaks this year alone, including one in January that forced two schools to close. The director of the Grant Park Music Festival was featured this weekend on a really big stage. Conductor Giancarlo Guerrero performed with Bad Bunny during yesterday's Super Bowl halftime show. He conducted a group of about 30 San Francisco musicians. He even got a little screen time during the broadcast. Guerrero tells the Sun-Times it all came together very quickly and secretly after getting a call just a little over a week ago.
So I came here on Tuesday morning. I've been in rehearsals. And as you can imagine, there's all sorts of, you know, very, very strict NDAs associated with this. And so it's been a little bit interesting trying to keep this very quiet for the last few days. And of course, now, you know, the news is out. But it has been an absolutely unbelievable, unforgettable, life-changing experience all around.
Guerrero added the whole Super Bowl experience was beyond his wildest dreams. Meantime, a lot of people from Chicago were watching here at home while Bad Bunny had his performance yesterday. The Sun-Times reports in the Humboldt Park neighborhood, the city's biggest Puerto Rican neighborhood, organizers behind the annual Fiestas Puertorriqueñas hosted a sold-out party in its VIP Residencia pop-up space on Division Street. Some attendees expressed it was nice to gather and celebrate Latino communities, as several Chicago neighborhoods have been targeted by President Trump's aggressive deportation campaign. You're listening to The Rundown. Of the thousands of immigrants swept up in the Trump administration's deportation campaign, there is one group you might not have heard too much about, Asians. And this is in part because many Asians have not come forward with stories of being targeted by federal agents. My colleague Esther Yunji Kang hears why the community has been so hesitant and what might be changing.
On a rainy night in January, Rabia Amin and her family are packing some essentials to send to her dad.
These are his eye drops if he has glaucoma and cataracts, and it's pretty hard to get in Pakistan.
63-year-old Asif Amin Chima had been deported to his native Pakistan about a week before. Now, Rabia's sister was getting ready to fly there to help him get situated in a country he had not lived in for 30 years. The family packed diabetes test strips, shaving gel, a blood pressure monitor, and new clothes for her dad. He'd lost so much weight while he was in detention that his old clothes no longer fit him. Amin says her dad lost over 30 pounds in 3 months and weighed only 140 pounds.
And I know he lost more weight after that. Like, he's very bony, face is very chiseled, and it's very, like, saggy as well.
Amin's dad was arrested by federal immigration agents minutes from his house in West Suburban Addison in September, in the early days of the Trump administration's Operation Midway Blitz. He'd begun the process to get legal status decades ago and thought he'd done everything the government requires. So, like many immigrants in the U.S., the Amin family never imagined Chima would be picked up by federal immigration agents.
I came from a perspective that we're hardworking, that we weren't criminals, nothing was ever going to happen to us.
But then something did happen. Amin says while her dad was on his way to work, his car was blocked in by Border Patrol agents.
Maybe they just saw him, saw that he was a brown man. They arrest people and then ask questions later.
The months that followed were harrowing. The family learned Chima had a removal order for a missed court date, something they say their former immigration lawyer never told them about. And then, just as he was about to get deported, he collapsed at the airport and ended up in the hospital. Once he recovered, he was sent back to Pakistan. When Chima was first arrested, the family lied about where he was. They told friends and relatives that he was sick, which was true because he had a host of health issues. But the Amins hardly told anyone what had really happened. They thought Chima would be released soon. But there was also another reason.
It's a phrase in our community, log kya kenge, which is literally translates to what will people say.
She was worried people would spread gossip about her family.
You know, when you're dealing with so much, the last thing we need to worry about is having to defend our family name.
So for 3 months, the family suffered in silence, trying to keep their hopes up and their dad's sandwich shop afloat. But after Chima collapsed, fearing he might die in detention, the family started talking to news reporters and held a press conference calling for his release. He was still deported on New Year's Day.
So we tried to play nice, we tried to play fair, we tried to keep it quiet, but you don't win staying silent. And I think it hurts you more.
Amin's father is one of more than 140 Asian immigrants in Illinois arrested during the second Trump administration. Nationally, that number is close to 8,000. That's according to a WBEZ analysis of data obtained by the Deportation Data Project. Those numbers only go through the middle of October and don't include all the people rounded up during the peak of Operation Midway Blitz. Now, the Asian community includes dozens of ethnicities, but in their experience of the past year or so with immigration enforcement in the Chicago area, some common themes have emerged. There's the stigma, but there's also something else. Take a listen to some leaders at organizations that serve Asian populations. Indian, Vietnamese, Filipino, Korean.
Early on, there was a lot of skepticism, right? People were like, no, we're not worried about it.
I think there was this belief that, oh, it won't happen to me. I'm fine.
When we were starting to launch all these Know Your Rights trainings, we didn't see enthusiasm from the Asian American community because people thought that's not going to impact me.
But it did. Over the past year in the Chicago area, Asians have been picked up at routine immigration check-ins, at airports returning from a trip abroad, in front of their homes and schools, in rideshare lots by O'Hare. But there wasn't much media coverage about any of that. And that's in part because not many Asian families, given the stigma and the fear, have come forward with their experiences. But Lisa Wright, with the Chinese American Service League, says that has consequences.
You risk losing somebody you love. You risk access to information. You lose access to resources that could really save your life or somebody's life.
Wright, who's Taiwanese American and now carries a copy of her passport around, says she has seen a shift over the past few months as videos and social media posts have spread through Asian communities. Groups tell me residents and business owners are asking for more Know Your Rights trainings and legal workshops. People are worried about the potential return of 1,000 federal immigration agents in the spring. Wright says the key to preparing for that next wave is for the whole Asian community to come together.
Each ethnicity has an organization that represents them. And sometimes they can operate in their silos. It's important that we coalesce because we're stronger together.
Rabia Amin, who is now fighting to get her dad back to the U.S., reminds fellow Asians and Asian Americans it's never too late to speak up. She says it's only been a year since the Trump administration came back into office.
And if this is the amount of damage they've done in 1 year, I can't even imagine what they're going to do for the next 3.
She says she and her family will keep being loud, keep bringing awareness, and keep standing with Asians and other immigrants. Esther Yunji Kang, WBEZ News.
Weather today, not too bad. Partly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. Tonight, cloudy, a low in the mid 30s. And milder tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the low 40s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.